Thursday, December 13th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And if you are tired of the same old sports talk, if you're sick of the arguments, if you're sick of the goofy callers that yell into their phones, hang out here for a while. You're going to like it a lot better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world, because when you look at a lot of it, it's actually pretty funny. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. You know, today, December 13th, is National Day of the Horse, whatever that means to you. Now, National Day of the Horse encourages people of the United States to be mindful of the contribution of horses to the economy, to history, and to the character of the United States. Who knew? National Horse Day, today, December 13th. You know, I have to think, just looking at this day, that maybe ESPN was celebrating National Horse Day. Remember back when they were doing the greatest athletes of all time, and they added Secretariat as one of the greatest athletes of all time? Because that seriously might have been one of the stupidest things I have ever seen on a sports list. And this was like a nationally renowned sports list. Like, this was a critically acclaimed sports list. They put a horse on it. Really? I'm okay with you putting an animal on the list, but I'm only okay with it if there are no humans on the list. Because then we're just watching Animal Planet. I didn't turn on Animal Planet that day. I turned on ESPN. Another genius move by that silly network. Hey, happy National Horse Day to everyone out there, especially you, ESPN, because you're the smart ones in the sports business. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know what animal you would like to see playing professional sports. We would really love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. Doesn't have to be horse-related. Doesn't have to be ESPN-related. But if you've got a suggestion, if you've got a comment, if you have a subject you would like us to tackle, we would love to hear from you. Also, make sure that you stop by tpublic.com to pick up some Daily Dose gear. We've got sweatshirts, hoodies, t-shirts, coffee mugs over at tpublic.com, and a number of other items that you can pick up with a Daily Dose logo on it. Make sure you stop by there and get some of that holiday shopping done. If you order now, they can still get it to you in time for the holiday. So make sure that you swing by tpublic.com. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. As usual, we do have a couple of sports news stories coming out. And then, as we've been doing this week, we've been talking a lot of basketball this week. You know, the NBA and college basketball seasons are rolling along. So far this week, we have looked at contenders and pretenders from each. And today, we are going to be looking at a few teams from both the NBA and from college that might not be getting quite as much recognition as some of the other teams. But you might want to keep an eye on these teams we talk about today, because they could be just a little bit under the radar. They could sneak up on some people this season. Hey, but before we get to that, how well do you know college football? Can you predict who is going to win each of the college football bowl games? Here is your chance to prove it. Make sure you go sign up with the Daily Dose podcast group over on the ESPN College Bowl Pick'em Contest. You don't need a password. Just search Daily Dose, join up. Remember, a perfect bracket gets you $1 million. And the winner of the Daily Dose Bracket Challenge is going to get themselves a major award. Come join the fun at ESPN College Bowl Pick'em. We have put a link to it over on dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You can find that as well. But anyone is welcome to play. And remember, bragging rights are on the line. Let's jump into some sports news, though. Because starting off in the NFL, of course we knew the Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas in 2020. But here's the question. Where are they going to be playing next year? Because it looks like the city of Oakland is suing the Raiders to recover damages from when the team leaves Oakland. The lawsuit claims that when the Raiders leave the city is going to be losing revenue and taxpayers are going to be left with an $80 million stadium debt that dates back to 1995 when the team moved from Los Angeles. According to the lead attorney of representation for the city, the suit argues that the NFL and team owners acted in concert with Raiders owner Mark Davis to disregard the city's effort to keep them there in Oakland. There's actually a fan group called Forever Oakland that is arguing these points. Oakland never had a chance. As soon as Al Davis died, probably a week after, from people I know from the inside, Mark Davis was talking to Roger Goodell about going to Los Angeles with his dad's body still warm in the ground, said a member of that fan group, Forever Oakland. Now here's where this gets interesting. Because currently, the Raiders have nowhere to play their home games next season because owner Mark Davis says he will not play in Oakland if this lawsuit proceeds. Here's what Mark Davis had to say. I personally want to play in Oakland. I absolutely want to play in Oakland. We have a completed lease sitting with the city council that all they have to do is agree to it, and we're here next year. Emotionally, I would say, why would I give them $3, $4, $5 million in rent that they're going to turn around and sue me? But at the same time, if they'll have us, I can't turn on the fans. I can't do it. And this is terrible negotiating I'm doing right now. I know I'm going to get killed, but that's just the way I am. But in fact, if it does get ugly and can't be bridged, then we do have other options. Hold on, Mark Davis.
You little pumpkin pie haircutted freak.
If this gets ugly? Did you really say, if this gets ugly? This is as ugly a professional franchise situation as I can ever remember. Here is a team turning their back on their fans. Here is a group of fans that won't give the team a new stadium. And in the process, here is a team and their fans just hating each other, suing each other, pulling their team away from each other. This is like an American marriage at this point. I mean, this disaster is straight out of an unrealistic Hollywood sports movie that if we saw it and they had this mean owner and he was abusing the fans and saying, I'm just going to take my team and leave, we'd be like, oh, come on, that wouldn't really happen in real life. No, it's happening. It's absolutely happening. So now there's talk. Maybe they'll play their games in Santa Clara. Maybe they'll go back down to San Diego, play down there. Maybe they'll even try to find a place in LA. Right now, the Oakland Raiders don't have a place to play next year. You know, you would think that the city of Oakland would be suing the Oakland Raiders to leave faster with the awful product that they're putting out there on the field. But whatever. You know what? I don't even understand California. Because I see it from both sides. Mark Davis is looking at it and saying, hey, you should have built us a stadium while you had us here. And the city of Oakland is saying, we can't even pay for ourselves. Have you seen what's going on these streets? We don't have any money to buy you a stadium. If you want a stadium, pay for it yourself. Meanwhile, the city and the franchise, I'm afraid, are headed toward an ugly divorce. You know, it's the kids that suffer. It really is the kids that suffer. Hey, we did also get some interesting news in the world of college football. They are saying that several influential voices in college football are reportedly prepared to at least discuss increasing the number of college football playoff teams from 4 up to 8. According to The Athletic, on Wednesday, the college football playoff expansion has received a lot of support, and there are hopes that the change can happen before the current contract with ESPN would end in 2026. According to Big 12 Commissioner Bobby Bowsby, he said, it's an appropriate thing to begin thinking about. Although the college football playoff has received less criticism than its predecessor, the Bowl Championship Series, it still created issues. There isn't enough space for a representative from each of the Power 5 conferences, and it has left virtually no path to a championship for schools from smaller conferences. He wasn't the only one. Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez also said that expansion is inevitable. He said increasing the number of playoff teams would serve more people. I don't know whether we're serving all of our people now. When you have some leagues, one league, the Big Ten as an example, he said, 2 years in a row, we don't have anyone represented. And the Big 12 has been the same way. The Pac-12 has also been the same way. An 8-team college football playoff could include automatic bids for the Power 5 conference champions, as well as 3 at-large bids, with one of those potentially guaranteed to a group of 5 school, like say a Central Florida. West Virginia President E. Gordon G. also said he doesn't think college football should wait for the ESPN contract to expire before making changes to the system. Now, let's take a look at who it is that is saying these things. The Big 12 commissioner, Barry Alvarez, so basically the Big 10 commissioner, and he even mentioned the Pac-12. Yeah, So the conferences that are getting left out are beginning to realize, hey, we need to expand this thing so we can all get paid too, because we keep getting left out. You know, it's amazing to see what people do for money, because remember, it was just a year ago, that short of a time, it wasn't that long ago, that they were all saying, hey, we're fine with four. We don't want to change from four. We don't want to expand. And then what happened? The Pac-12 got left out. The Big Ten got left out. We have already seen the Big 12 get left out. Yeah, all of a sudden they're changing their tune. Remember, they were saying, hey, we think the disagreements are actually kind of healthy. Yeah, until you got left out and you didn't get the paycheck. And then when they realized they weren't going to get that money, hey, let's take a look at revamping this whole system. We just might want to make some changes. Yeah, I'm not the least bit surprised. Best thing that could have happened in this entire playoff situation was that we had a couple of big conferences get left out. I think that is going to end up driving change. Hey, coming back, we need to take a look at a few college basketball teams that could surprise some people around the country, because they may not have the big name that you'd think of in college hoops, but they could be lurking just a little bit underneath the radar. So, you know, this week on The Dose, we have been talking a lot of basketball. The NBA and college basketball seasons are well underway, and while we've already looked at some of the top teams, some of the contenders, well, and we've also looked at some of the other teams, some of the pretenders, today we're going to be taking a look at a few teams that, hey, they might not be household names. They might not be names that you would think of as having basketball success, but I'm telling you, they may make some serious noise this year. Let's start off in college hoops. You know, we have already discussed the Gonzaga Bulldogs being a contender this season. But one concern that I always have for Gonzaga is the fact that they play in that West Coast Conference and they only get tested within that conference maybe once or twice all year. Maybe they get a test from Loyola Marymount. Maybe someone like St. Mary's is a little bit scrappy. Well, this season, there could actually be one other team in the WCC that could be a little bit better than expected, because the San Francisco Dons haven't been to the NCAA tournament in 20 years, but they've got an outside chance of maybe making it this year. They brought back four starters from a team that last year won 22 games. Now, already this year, San Francisco has beaten Stephen F. Austin. We know many times they are a tournament team, and they've already beaten California. They do still have Stanford on the schedule, and of course, they will play Gonzaga twice. Could a good showing against Stanford, could a solid showing against Gonzaga twice, maybe help the Dons sneak their way into the dance? Hey, this is a veteran team. Could they break a 20-year drought for San Francisco? Might be worth keeping an eye on. Another school out there that is lurking underneath the radar. You know, every year, it seems like there are those schools you've just never heard of, and they just wreak total chaos in your office bracket pool, and they keep you from winning that office pool. Hey, you've heard it here first. Do not let the Furman Paladins do it to you this year. They have only been to the tournament 8 times in the school's history, and they haven't been to the dance since 1980. But take a look at Furman, because they are well on their way to making it to the dance if they keep their current pace. Furman has already beaten defending champion Villanova. They have already beaten Loyola Chicago, which we know made a great run last year. They are 11-0. They are even starting to creep into the top 25 poll. Furman, they are creeping into the top 25 poll. Hey, they can shoot it. They can play defense. And the biggest thing for Furman, they win games late. Already this season, they've won 3 games in overtime. Now, you look at that and say, well, why are they going to overtime? It makes no difference. If you can learn how to win games now, that may help you later in the year, because you reflect back on that experience and you say, hey, we've done this before. Let's go get this done again in a late game situation. The Furman Paladins are getting it done late in games. You know, the Buffalo Bulls are actually another veteran team, and they are no longer going to be happy just to make it to the tournament. They've already done that. You'll remember last year, they won the MAC, and then that wasn't enough. They got into the tournament. And remember, they got that big upset against highly touted Arizona. Everyone was picking Arizona, Arizona is going to be that sneaky team. They may just go all the way to the Final Four and win it. Nope. They didn't even get out of the first round because Buffalo went and pushed them around. Then Buffalo even went on to the next game and they gave Kentucky all they wanted before bowing out. Now this year, Buffalo's already picking up where they left off. They've already beaten West Virginia. They've already beaten Southern Illinois. And they even beat the aforementioned San Francisco Dons. It was a very close game, but Buffalo won that game by 4 points. Again, a veteran team. They are stocked with juniors and seniors. And the fact that they have that tournament experience last year, the fact that they've already done this, yeah, the Buffalo Bulls are a team that could make some more noise in the tournament this year. They still have Southern Illinois, they still have Syracuse, and they still have Marquette. I want to see how Buffalo does against those teams. But if they do well, hey, I know they don't play in the biggest conference, but you are going to know they've been tested a little bit. They are going to be looking to get into the tournament, and they aren't just going to be happy to get there. They're going to want to beat a few teams too. Buffalo is a team that is definitely under the radar this year. Okay, here is a quick trivia question for you right now. Who is the top ranked team in college basketball from the state of Texas? And I'll give you a hint. It's not the University of Texas, and it sure isn't Texas A&M, who kind of looks awful this year. Did you guess the Texas Tech Red Raiders at number 11 because the Red Raiders are rolling along? I wouldn't have thought of Texas Tech, but hey, they have wins over Nebraska. They have wins over Southern Cal. They've already beat Memphis. What's crazy about this, they're doing this after the run they went on in the tournament last year, and they lost 5 of their top 6 scorers from last year's team. Remember Texas Tech last year? No one really picked them. No one really expected much from them. And they kept winning games in the tournament. They went clear to the Elite Eight before they finally lost to eventual champion Villanova. And this year, Texas Tech is again doing it with defense. Hey, they're giving up just 52 points per game. Only one opponent that they have faced has shot better than 35% from the field against Texas. So they just make you take bad shots. They just force you into horrible looks. And a lot of teams look at it and say, wow, we had a really bad shooting night when we faced Texas Tech. Yeah, it's not a coincidence. They made you have that bad shooting night. That is exactly what they do. Here is something to keep in mind. Texas Tech is going to be hosting the Duke Blue Devils on December 20th. I'm just saying, you might want to mark that down somewhere because I want to see what those young Blue Devils do against what is a very tenacious defense in the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They are a team that, again, you probably don't think of when you think of very, very good teams in college basketball. The Texas Tech Red Raiders are going to be a pain this year. That's a pretty solid team. Got one more under the radar college basketball team for you. You know, in the past few seasons, we've seen a number of former college basketball players take coaching jobs. And it's interesting because, at least for me, now I'm old enough, I remember when these guys played. I mean, Bobby Hurley, we remember he started off at Buffalo. He's now rolling along very well at Arizona State. You might not realize this, but Donyell Marshall is the head coach at Central Connecticut. Juan Dixon is coaching at Coppin State. Do you remember King Rice when he was at North Carolina? He's the head coach at Monmouth. Penny Hardaway, of course, took the job at Memphis. Damon Stoudemire is the coach at Pacific, and we all heard about when Patrick Ewing went back to his alma mater, Georgetown University. Well, one other player went back to his alma mater, and so far, he seems to be doing pretty well, and that is Chris Mullen, who went back to St. John's. So far, the Red Storm is undefeated. They have wins over Cal, over Virginia Commonwealth, and over Georgia Tech. Hey, that's not bad for a program that has not been to an NCAA tournament since 2015. And you know, they haven't had this good of a start. They haven't started off this hot since back in the early 90s when they were rolling out like Malik Sealy and Chucky Sproiling, who, by the way, was a Denver guy. Now, this season has already been very, very interesting for St. John's. Take a look at some of the wins that they've already had. They came from 11 points down against Bowling Green to get that win. They came from down 7 to beat Cal They scored in the last 5 seconds of overtime to get past VCU after a game in which there were 24 lead changes. There were 16 ties. That was a very, very competitive game. And then on Saturday, they came from down 16 to beat Georgia Tech. Now, it concerns me a little bit that they keep falling behind, but it does also make me look at this team and say, hey, they keep rallying. They keep finding ways to win. Chris Mullin just might return his former school to the glory that they had when he was there. Hey, St. John's, back in the 70s, back in the 80s, that used to be a big-time program. It hasn't been anything in a long, long time. This year, Chris Mullin just might make St. John's a team that is just a little bit under your radar, but a team that you absolutely want to keep an eye on. Hey, coming back, let's switch it over to the NBA. We talked the other day about some pretenders and contenders over there, but today we're going to take a look at a few teams. They might not be the big name contenders, but I'm telling you, they could still be very dangerous. They might just be a little under your radar. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, and now we are officially into that silly season where you've got to do all of that holiday shopping, maybe you have someone on your list that you're not exactly sure what to get. You need to make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Scavenge. What you build depends on what you can scavenge. We've searched through the rubble. We've made some fortunate finds, from the fantastic to the downright alien. So get ready for a collection of seriously cool exclusive gear. December's Loot Crate theme features items from Transformers Bumblebee, Dungeons & Dragons, Escape from New York, and Fallout. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate and you can choose from a huge selection of crates, or you can just go over there and find individual items, and they have just about any franchise you can possibly think of over there. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose every day. So don't worry about what to get that difficult person on your holiday shopping list. Just make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com first. Now, it is a little harder to be under the radar in the NBA. I mean, these are all professional teams, right? It's not like, and then the little college from out on the coast. No, these are all professional teams. But like I said, we discussed contenders on Tuesday. We looked at the big favorites. But today, I want to take a look at a few teams. They're not going to be the first teams that come to your mind when you think of a team that maybe could make some noise in the postseason. But if things fell just right, if things break just right for them, I don't know, they could sneak up on some people. Here are a few under-the-radar teams in the NBA this year. Now, I swear, this first team I'm going to name, I think they're on our under-the-radar list every single year because they're just easy to forget. And it's probably because of the way it seems like they bow out of the playoffs every single year. But the Portland Trailblazers can still be a pain. That backcourt duo of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they still cause a problem for your defense because they can get into the lane. They can both shoot it. They can break down your guards a little bit. And yes, I know it seems like every single year, Portland looks great in the regular season and then they get in the playoffs and they just fade and they go away and they can't play good enough defense. But if there is one way that Portland could make some noise in the postseason, it is if they can just keep big man Jusuf Nurkić healthy. Because when Nurkić is healthy, he completely changes the look of Portland. He changes their defense completely. And if you want to go into the paint against Nurkić, hey, good luck. That dude's head looks like a piece of granite. He doesn't back down from anyone. There is not a single person in the league that is going to go up against Nurkić physically and just manhandle him. I'll promise you that. That is a tough, scary dude. Now, if he can stay healthy, that keeps their defense pretty good. And in that scenario, I could see Portland being a spoiler for maybe a few other teams out there that have some hopes of advancing. Portland could knock them off if he can just stay healthy, give them defense, and give them rebounds. Now, we talked the other day about contenders in the NBA. And I don't know if you realize this, but I only named one contender in the Western Conference. And that was not on accident, Because I look at Golden State and I just don't think anyone can hang with the Warriors in the West. I don't think the Western Conference is as top heavy as it used to be. I don't think it's as great as the top, but I think that conference is far, far deeper than it has been for a number of years. But if there is a team in the West that I actually think has any chance whatsoever to knock off those Golden State Warriors, no, I don't think it would be the Lakers. No, I don't think it would be Denver. I actually think it might be Oklahoma City, who after their slow start, hey, they've kind of gotten things rolling. Remember when Oklahoma City started off the year and they lost their first four games of the season and everyone started writing them off and saying, hey, Oklahoma City's done. Russell Westbrook's done. Paul George looks awful. He shouldn't have stayed there. Hey, since then, OKC is reeling off wins. And you know how they're doing it? They're doing it with their defense. They're allowing just 102 points per game. Now, I am of the belief that if a team is going to go out there and beat Golden State, I don't think you can do it trying to beat them at their own game. Hey, we're going to go out there and we're going to outshoot Golden State. Yeah, good luck with that. But could you maybe go out there, get them in a little bit of a different game, play good defense, force them to put it on the floor every single time and go by you, and maybe cut off the lane a little bit? At this point, I think that's the only hope we have for derailing the Warriors. And if that's the case, I would say that Oklahoma City is probably the team that has the people in place to at least have a chance to do that. I think they are definitely under the radar. You know, there is an Eastern Conference team that I think is creeping a little under the radar, and I think it's the Detroit Pistons. And I know they struggled a little bit lately because of some injuries, but when Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson are playing together, Detroit is a little bit of a sneaky team in the Eastern Conference. The problem for them right now, they're missing off-guard Ish Smith. When he gets back, hey, this Detroit Pistons team, I can't even really explain it. They're not too bad. They're actually a team over in the East. I don't think they can win the East, but I think they could knock off a couple of teams that think they can. I would not sleep on the Detroit Pistons. And then finally, our final under-the-radar NBA team has to be a team from my hometown. Even though I know full well they aren't capable of winning anything significant, the reason I put the Denver Nuggets on the under-the-radar teams list is, hey, when they are healthy and they are scoring points and they are playing any semblance of defense, they can put a lot of pressure on opposing defenses because that is a deep, deep team. They have got guys coming off the bench that can hurt you. They bring a number of scorers. You've got Nurkic. You've got Gary Harris. You've got Jamal Murray. You've got Paul Millsap. You have guys coming off the bench that are going to test your backup group as well. I know that the Denver Nuggets foul too much. I know that they whine too much about their refs. And I know that they really, really struggle in late game situations when the game is tight because they really don't have that A personality that says, hey, give me the ball and get out of the way. I'm going to go win this thing. They don't have that. But if they're a 3 or a 4 seed, yeah, they might knock off a team here or there that maybe thinks they have a chance of getting out and facing the Warriors at some point. I don't think they can hang with Golden State, but I do think that the Denver Nuggets are a little bit under the radar, and hey, understandably so, because we know that the Nuggets are a snake bit franchise. They always have been. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will of course be looking at a few of the top sports stories that are coming out, and then we will have our weekend preview. Take a look at some of the things that are going to be out there for you to watch this weekend. Some really, really good NFL matchups coming this week. And don't forget, we've got NFL games on Saturday this week. Plus, as we do on most Fridays, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you've got to tune in for that. I say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the suggestions. Thank you all for sharing the show. It is very appreciated. Don't forget to finish up some of that holiday shopping you might have over at tpublic.com, where you can pick up some Daily Dose gear. And hey, head over to ESPN and join our College Bowl Pick'em. Search for the group Daily Dose Podcast and join up with the group. We would love to have you join our group. There is no password required, and we would love to have you prove that you know college football better than any of us. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.